should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy, whatever living beings they may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none, through anger or ill will, wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So, with a kindless heart, should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and ungrounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated and lying down, free from drowsiness, one should stand with confidence. This is said to be the divine abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Verse 67. An action is not well done if one has to feel sorry for having done it, and if with a tearful face one has to cry as a result of that action. The story of a farmer while living at the Jetavana monastery. The Buddha spoke verse 67 of this book about a farmer whose handled portion. One day, some thieves, having stolen some valuables and cash from the house of a rich man, came to the field. There, they divided the stolen property among themselves and went in different directions. But a pocket containing 1,000 in cash, having been dropped by one of the thieves, was left behind unnoticed. Early in the morning on that day, the Buddha, on looking over the world with his supernormal power, perceived that a farmer working near that field would attend Sotapatta provision on that every on that very day. So the Buddha went there with the Venerable Ananda. The farmer, on seeing the Buddha, paid respect to him and continued to plow the field. The Buddha, seeing the packet of money, said to the Venerable Ananda, "Ananda, look at that very poisonous snake." And Ananda replied, "Venerable sir, yes, it is indeed a very poisonous snake." Then both the Buddha and the Venerable Ananda continue on their way. The farmer, hearing them, went to find out if there really was a snake and found the packet of money. He took the packet and hid it. The owners of property coming after the thieves came to the field and, following the footprints of the farmer, found the packet of money. They beat the farmer and took him to the king, who ordered his men to kill the farmer. On being taken to the cemetery where he was to be killed, the farmer kept on the repeating, "Ananda, look at that very poisonous snake. Venerable sir, I see the snake. It is indeed a very poisonous snake." When the king's men had his conversation between the Buddha and Venerable Ananda being repeated all the way, they were puzzled and looked him to the king. The king guessed that the farmer was calling upon the Buddha as a witness. He was therefore taken to the Buddha. After hearing from the Buddha everything that had happened in the morning, the king said, "If he had not been able to call upon the Buddha as a witness of his innocence, this man would have been killed." To him, the Buddha replied, "A wise man should not do anything that he would feel sorry for after doing it." Then the Buddha spoke in verse as follows, verse 67, "An action is not well done if one has to feel sorry for having done it, and if with a tearful face one has to cry as a result of the action." At the end of this discourse, the farmer attained Sotapatta fruition. Thank you.
So if your mind goes wandering around in the beginning of the meditation, even though it's nice to be in silence, it's nice to bring it back into the body and feel if there's any tension in your body, or whether you can relax it a little bit. Maybe you've been carrying all the weight of the world on your shoulders all day again, and you just haven't noticed, so let the shoulders drop and just let them relax. Maybe you've been holding back your stomach all day because you're thinking other things in the world, so just take deep breaths in and out into your stomach and let the stomach be nice and soft. Maybe you had a worried face on your face all day, you just haven't noticed, but maybe you've been wrinkling your face and pulling all these funny faces all day, which you haven't even noticed because you haven't paid any attention to it. Feel if you can have this kind of nice and beautiful relaxed face. All those muscles in your face, just let them relax. All these things we're doing, being unaware about it, we don't even notice all day we're doing these things. But your actual body is an indicator to your mind. Every feeling, every thought, they always show somewhere in your body. Let the body relax itself. It will find its own posture. It will heal itself if you let it. Buddha said, the mind is the fastest thing in this world. If you notice, when your mind starts slowing down, that you're creating these stories. But when you're in those stories, you don't notice your body. That's why we teach ourselves how to pay attention to certain places. Just one thing at a time. So if you feel the bum on the chair, can you feel all those different feelings there? And if you're feeling the bum, you cannot pay attention to your feelings in your mind. Or you don't notice that you're seeing something behind the audience. Or that your tongue is still tasting something in your mouth. Or that you hear something. Mind is so fast that you think it creates. You can do these things all at once, but no, you're creating. It's so fast that you're creating this storyline about everything. But if you're in your head too much, go back to your body. Somewhere. Somewhere in your body where there's nice and soft feeling. That grounds you into the present moment. We try to relax the mind. Can you have a feeling where your mind is? Does it feel like you can only have a mind if it does something? If the mind wouldn't do anything, it would not exist. Maybe you notice that the mind is wherever the five senses are. It always wants to go out. The mind is in your right index finger. Your mind is in the hearing my voice. But your mind can also be quiet if you can start noticing the gaps between the words. Did you notice that you paid attention? One thing. You paid attention to the gap between the words. Can you pay attention to your thinking the same way? Instead of paying attention to the storyline, can you see these gaps there? The spaces between the stories. If you can stretch the spaces, longer you can spend in those quiet moments. More peaceful your mind gets. Be interested about your mind. Pay attention to your mind. Give metta to your mind. Don't try to push it in a certain direction. You shouldn't be thinking, I shouldn't be doing this. Don't add fuel into the fire. And if you go really deep into your thinking, you're in your stories again. You just step back. That's okay. Try to be as kind as possible to your thinking. It will calm itself down if you just let it be. It's like a little child always wanting attention from your mind. But if you just be there, it just wants to be with you. If you embrace this child inside of you, becomes your really good friend. No need to punish your mind. If your mind starts to quiet down, this beautiful, soft thing starts to slowly get more and more quiet, more and more soft. Maybe the breath starts appearing. Only if your mind's really calm, only then the breath is there. We only have very few moments left, so enjoy the peace. are coming to the end of the meditation. Feel your mind. Is it softer, more malleable? And if your mind is a bit more relaxed, how's your body? Is it softer? Relax. Is it taking care of itself? This is how the mind and body work in harmony. I'm going to ring the bell now for 3 times. Just listen carefully to the bell. And after the 3rd ring, you can open your eyes. People hear me alright? I don't know if I should be speaking loud. I feel like I'm a hypnotist when I start teaching people sometimes. I don't know what the difference is sometimes. You feel like you're trying to hypnotize people. But I think it's good to have a guided meditation. Sometimes it's interesting when I'm even doing myself the meditation. I get good meditation because I'm sort of doing the self-hypnosis, I'm telling myself to calm down. So it's nice to teach people. So today's verse with the Dhammapada verse, what Bhante was teaching, it's an interesting story because the farmer really didn't do anything bad. He just found the packet on the field and then okay, he hid it, but then it wasn't really, I mean, it doesn't say the story. Maybe he was even thinking of giving it away because he was so close to being a sotapatti, as a stream enter. So he must have been a really good person anyway, so I don't think he meant to be stealing it. And he was still flogged and taken to the king, and he almost killed him. So interesting that sometimes in the world, you know, you do a good thing and you still get blamed. So that I always thought as a from Ajahn Brahm that the blame and praise, the world always gives you the blame and praise. That no matter what you do, you do your best and you get blamed, and you sometimes be cheeky and people praise you, you didn't do anything. So you know, we have to find this balance. Don't get too carried away when people are praising you, and don't get too down when people are blaming things you do. So it's a nice reflection what I've been taught, and I'm so grateful about that. I came across these teachings that they really help on those days where you get carried away and bring you back. So it's an interesting verse. I think even though the verse itself, I think it teaches to just if you're doing something with mind which is not pure mind, which is you're doing something out of hatred or spite towards something, you want there something which belongs to them, or even if you're doing out of something which is, because for me being in a monastery, I'm the work master. I give the work for all the other monks, and one of my, you know, I'm sort of the sangha official, and I get pointed into that job. And the sangha officials that we have in our Vinaya, the rules we have to follow, it says, you know, how you should act as a sangha official. And I shouldn't be giving work for people, you know, out of the, because I favor other, some monks, and, you know, they give these favors to others, or I shouldn't give them because I feel angry, I give them hard jobs. But I also shouldn't give them jobs because I'm afraid of something. So that's an interesting thing that is actually mentioned there, that we should not do things because out of fear. It's really interesting that it's mentioned there. It dawned on me, it was really this revelation when I read those things, when I was sort of took on the job 7 years ago, and I sort of took the effort to, you know, pay attention. Well, what does it really mean that I'm sort of sangha official? Because it's actually something we get pointed in the sangha meeting, and he says that. And I think a lot of times in life we don't notice that, but we're doing things out of, probably not out of spite. A lot of times we're trying to do our best, but sometimes we do things out of fear, and even that is not a good thing to do. Is not a wholesome thing to do. You are afterwards, you feel remorse. Mm-hmm. In your mind, one has to cry as a result of that action. You weren't protecting yourself. You didn't have enough loving kindness towards yourself. You didn't do something which is punishable by law, or somebody else would punish you. They would actually maybe be, you know, like you because of that, because you're always giving away from yourself, and you're out of fear, you always keep giving, and you forget yourself. So remember that, that's the one thing, good thing to remember that. Don't do things out of fear. It's really, nobody tells you these things, but you know, it's there in the Buddha's teachings, and sometimes they're so deep, and when you stumble across these things, it's like, wow, yes, that's right. I shouldn't be doing out of fear. I mean, it's common sense that you shouldn't be doing out of, you know, spite, or, you know, you're angry or something. But to not to do even out of fear. And one thing I've been taught also as a monk all the time, I've been, Ajahn Vermali reminds me all the time that when you have to do a decision, if you can delay, if your mind is not in the right place, try to delay the decision. So most of the time, if your mind is not in a calm state, that's the worst place to do, you know, make the decision. So if you want to decide something, well, you should be happy. That's the best place to come into good conclusion. Because what happens then? Then you don't feel remorse. Then you felt that you came from a place which was, I was relaxed, I made it, you know, even then things can go wrong. It doesn't guarantee anything, but most likely it will get you a better result. Mm. But if you reflect back on it, and there's like, this turned out to be a bit sour deal, it didn't turn out well. Well, I did my best. I came out of, you know, place of loving kindness. I wasn't afraid of these things. I wasn't, you know, angry making this thing. I came out of this place of calmness. And then you reflect on back on it, then there's no tearful face, even though, like, you know, the deal turned out sour. You divorced, or, you know, whatever it is in your life. So you did your best. So it's an interesting, you know, version. You can sort of add a lot of things into it.
And yeah, sometimes you can say you do something out of delusion.
Yeah.
And then later on you find out that it was something because of something you didn't know.
Yeah.
I know that sort of delusion, I mean.
Sure. But The thing is, you cannot gather all the information. You're making decisions out of the information you have at the hand. Mm-hmm. So that's why if you come out of a place where you are in a not good, you know, a good heart, you're coming out of a good place. Like, that's what I'm trying to do. So if something goes wrong and I reflect back and I can think of like, well, at least I did best. I actually had a good mind state when I did that. You don't really feel so guilty about it. You might be delusional, sure, but at least you came from a good heart. Yeah. Any other comments?
I mean, the farmer could have, you know, hidden the loot,
yeah,
so that the thieves wouldn't come back and get it.
I don't know why.
Wait for the owner to come and then hand it to him, but I mean,
exactly. Sort of, what did he?
The owner immediately.
But it's sort of like that. Even if he just would have taken to his, you know, let's say, I take it to my house, and then if somebody's that, yeah, I can find out what, who lost it, I give it to them. But there was just sort of like, hang on, footprints goes to your place. It's been stolen. 2 and 2, you know, you in trouble. And those days that, you know, the court didn't go too much into details, they just flogged him and took him to be killed. Yeah.
I should have wondered where all the other loot went.
Yeah, where's the rest? Yeah. Well, maybe, yeah, anyway. Yeah. I was teaching the, I went to the Dhamma school in the Sri Lanka temple on the weekend. It was really nice to teach the kids again once in a while. It's so nice. They're so inquisitive. They ask all these questions and they know a lot of stuff. They're really smart kids there, and it was really nice. And we did this meditation, lying down meditation. So if you might want to try this if you have trouble sleeping sometimes. So I taught them this lying down meditation, and what we did, everybody gets lied down. There were 52 kids, so it was a bit of a lot of kids there, but. What I told them to do, instead of having the cushion underneath your back, I said, put it on your tummy. And when you have the cushion on your stomach, when you're lying down there, and I was doing the guided meditation, you know, you just go into the seaside and in this beautiful place, and then just have, because the cushion on your stomach, and then I, you know, like, okay, now pay attention to that cushion on your stomach. And it gives this a little bit of resistance on you when you're breathing, and you start noticing that you know, stomach goes up and down. So it's easier to pay attention when there's this kind of physical object, you know, like your cushion on your stomach. So sometimes I've heard some of these meditation teachers, they teach these to kids as well. If I've been sort of like thinking it might be helpful for people if you have trouble sleeping, if you have a couple, you know, pillows and just, you know, just rolling around, maybe just put the pillow on your stomach, and then you know it gives you this kind of a bit of a feedback, and it brings you back into this, you know, into the breathing and into your body maybe a little bit. So maybe if you could try it one time, I wonder if it might be helpful for somebody. But it was interesting, the kids really seemed to like it. Some of them are a bit restless, but what to do. But yeah, it was interesting. I taught them that kind of meditation first time, so it was quite cool.
Why don't you try that?
Yeah, try that. Let me know if it really works. I haven't had any. Yeah, but it's interesting when you actually have something on your body, it sort of it brings you back more into the, you know, into the body. So yeah. A lot of times when you're not sleeping, you're just in your head and you're restless and all that. So. Very good. Any other questions at 8 o'clock? Now? So are we happy? More or less? Satisfied? Okay, let's do the last verses.
Okay. Now let us chant the verses of sharing and aspiration.
Through this from my practice. May my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtues my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and the holy Jesus leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, God and his spirits of the earth, and the Lord of the death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life, may they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless, through the goodness that arises from my practice, and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments with this ease, and all harmful states of mind, until I realize Nirvana, in every kind of birth, may I have enough Brahmana, with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor, may the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge, unsurpassed is the protection of Dhamma. The solitary Buddha is my noble lord, the Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and illusion be dispelled.
Rakantu
sapa devata sapa buddha nupavena sada soti bhavantu te bhavatu sapa mangala rakantu sapa devata sapa dhamma nupavena sada soti bhavantu te bhavatu sapa mangalam rakkhantu sapa devata sapa sangha nupavena sada soti bhavantu te.